Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Had 2,300 red light violations in February. That's about 82 a day. About 2% of those, 45, were PPD officers had canceled out. The worst intersections, 9th and Bayou, 34% of the violations were happening at 9th and Bayou. And then you've got the breakdown, about 20% at 9th and Fairfield. And understand, 19.6% at 9th and Fairfield, that's only the one the two approaches of the four. It's half the size, so that's pretty significant.
Yeah, we've got another month's worth of data for the red light cameras in Pensacola, January and now February. Of course, February was a slightly shorter month, but if you're talking about east and west on 9th at Bayou, that's terrible. Like 300 to 350 roughly. Red light violations over the month. That's enormous, right? That's 350 times somebody ran a red light in that intersection going east and about 300 times going west. 700 times. That's insane. And then the other one that's really bad is going onto the on-ramp to I-110. In January, it was 345 times somebody ran that red light. And that's going westbound on Gregory, okay? In February, it was 627 times. 600 times somebody ran that red light. And, you know, I kind of feel for the mayor now, because the mayor has often felt the need to respond to what he perceives as the public reaction to these things. And he does. That's his job as the mayor. Public reaction to the red light cameras before they went in, and I suppose to some degree since, is they're just catching me for, being 4 inches over the line, or, it went red on me right before I entered the intersection, or, they're messing with the yellows, man. They're making the yellows shorter. There's like federal laws that set that, so that's not happening. I'm sorry. But it cracked me up. It was one of my favorite things I saw on the internet yesterday. There was a post in one of the, I forget which, like the What's Happening Pensacola kind of Facebook pages. There's like three or four of them. And I happened to come across this. Some guy posts this and says, the mayor seemed pretty proud on the news today of the fact that, this is yesterday, that 82 people a day are fined at stoplight cameras. That's 2,400 tickets per month. He does the math on how much revenue that generates is $5 billion a year. Yeah, as long as he's mayor, the cameras stay. Vote these grifters out. I got one of these tickets. The video clearly shows the yellow was shortened. You'll get one, too. It's only a matter of time. False. The yellow was not shortened. B, the funny thing is he showed the, screenshot of his truck not yet across the white line, and it's red. And then through the light, and it's, also still red. And so the comments is where this got so entertaining, because I expected the comments to be like, yeah, it is terrible. Yeah, they're stealing our money. First comment, someone named Rachel. Light was red before you ever crossed in the intersection. It didn't turn red as you were going through, which means the light was green the other direction when you were going through the intersection. You are the problem. 111 likes. Now, it is true that it doesn't go green immediately, so maybe not exactly what she said. But 111 likes was encouraging to me, because I expected people to, be angrier. Brody writes, been really scratching my head on how we're going to fix this. Might just have to stop running red lights, I guess. 68 likes. Somebody else underneath that one, Don, what? You mean abide by, gasp, rules? Now, why would Pensacola do that? Okay. And then, this is where I really got, this is like an encouraging moment of humanity for me, because I don't know, I just expect the worst out of social media. And I also typically tell people, never read the comments. Like, the comments are, I actually made a post yesterday that said, never only read the headline, always, always read the article. And somebody said, well, what about the comments? Never read the comments. Never read the comments. But there was a really encouraging additional element to this post yesterday, and I'll give it to you in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 going both north and southbound, we're starting to see some delays backing up on 29. But other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
So I was just explaining how after the mayor yesterday talked about the updated numbers for the red light cameras in Pensacola, and they have, it's horrible. We run a lot of red lights, which is not news to anybody who lives here, but it's sort of painful to see the numbers and think, good Lord, it's actually amazing more people don't get hurt. I mean, that is actually amazing. So in this post, in one of the, like, What's Happening Pensacola Facebook pages, where somebody complained about how these stupid red light cameras, while posting a picture of his truck on the good side of the white line with the light being red, and people were saying, bro, just, you did it. I don't know what you're showing me. Okay, DC commented. DC commented on the thread. DC Reeves, the mayor. Ready? He says, I've been busy today. I was going to post an example of one of many egregious red light violations and why I'm so tired of drivers who are so inconsiderate of the safety of their neighbors and the children of our community. I'm also tired of careless accidents that are the number one strain on your police resources, who should be in your neighborhoods not standing with you at an intersection for 90 minutes because you ran a red light. Anyway, thanks for posting this example. Like, I was gonna explain why it needs to be done, but you did it for me in your complaint. And again, what made it even funnier to me is, you know, that guy, like, you know, I don't know, 40 positive reactions or whatever, and then somebody followed up and said, at original poster, OP, that's at the person who posted it, even the mayor's dragging you, get back here and explain yourself. It's not all the time on social media that you get affirmation. Somebody says, you straight up ran that red light. You can only blame yourself. Somebody else says, sir, you were running the red light as it was red. While I do not agree with these cameras, they do catch boneheads like you. Somebody else says, we are all looking at the same picture and the light is clearly red. I think you missed something in kindergarten. You ran. I don't know. Anyway, so back to the mayor yesterday. It's such a happy moment for me.
This isn't a stark illustration of a problem, then I don't know what is. I don't know how much more we could be hit in the face with that we have a major driving issue here.
Yeah, you cannot deny it.
And, you know, what I appreciate is some folks have given us some feedback that said, hey, just the fact that we know that you've put these in at 4 or 5 lights has made me more cautious at other lights, even if... maybe I'm 10% not sure if you put one there or not. Good. That's what we want, is, you know, that should be the net result of this, is that people are a little more cautious when they're driving and making sure that they're not running through the red light.
Right, right. And I know it's for me too. I know exactly where these red light cameras are. I notice that when I pull up to a red light that is not any of these intersections, I pay more attention to stopping before the white line. I'm paying attention and not, you know, running a red. I mean, I don't run it, but, you know, like, it creates a different mindset. And it's a good mindset.
If I'm sitting here in February of 2026 talking about 2300, now we got a real problem. But
and that's an important note, because he was asked, the numbers aren't declining. I mean, it's been a month, you know, 2 months. Give it a minute. But he says, we're still at this same level in February of next year, it means the cameras aren't having the effect we want them to have. Yes, they're catching violators. But the effect is we want to discourage the behavior, right? The goal is to reduce the number of red light violations, like Gulf Breeze, right? Where you just don't have it very much. That's the goal. And I don't think we're going to know that for a while. I agree with him. We're not going to know that right away. So I would say I agree. If next year we have the same level, or even, you know, like in 6 months it's the same exact level, then we have to think about, well, is this program working? I'll go one step further. And again, I'll talk with the mayor about this coming up at 7:35 this morning. But particularly, it's, and I hate to say this, but it's true. We're not trying to get people to not run red lights. We're trying to reduce crashes. Right? I mean, if in some imaginary hypothetical world you had rampant red light running and no crashes, okay? I mean, that's not good, but I mean, that's fine. It's the crashes that matter, right? It's the injuries, the damage, and the killing. That's what matters. And so even the question of reducing the number of violations is not the goal. The real goal is how many crashes are we having at these intersections compared with how many crashes we had before at these intersections. And as the opponents of red light cameras will ask, how big and small are the crashes? Because minor rear-end fender benders because people stop out of fear are different than T-bones and left turns, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's the real question. And I just don't think they happen often enough that we know yet. But that's the question I'm going to start asking is, what's our crash data at these intersections? Because, again, running the red lights is, you reduce red light running in order to reduce crashes. But if you reduce red light running and you still have crashes, we didn't get anywhere. And if you have red light running, but you can somehow manage to reduce crashes or you don't have them, then it almost kind of doesn't matter that you have red light running. You know, the one is just a means of getting at the other. So I'll be asking those questions. We'll talk about it. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'd also be curious if you've gotten one and you're willing to say, I got it, I deserved it. Or I got it and I really don't believe I deserved it. Because remember, PPD is already filtering out about 2% of them that they don't think were, which is part of the equation, having a human being there to check the accuracy. 623 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's, wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at VFW.org.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I hate when that happens.
Good morning, 626 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Again, we're starting to see some delays if you're headed northbound on Highway 29 at the 9 Mile intersection there. And 98, starting to back up just a little bit just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge going eastbound. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, you...
Behind what I can only describe as the pitcher's cage protector.
Right.
You've got new monitors right in there, and they remind me of the right-handed, you know, when you're like going to throw over the top of it and be safe from the batters. It's kind of what it looks like to me.
It's like a video wall.
Yeah.
An entire wall of just screens surrounding me, so... Well, Ukraine says they will agree to a 30-day ceasefire with Russia if Moscow is willing to accept it. The tentative deal comes after a day of negotiations between Ukraine and the U.S. and Saudi Arabia on Tuesday. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said his country sees it as a positive step. But, of course, it's up to the U.S. to convince Russia to accept the deal as well. There's some major cuts reported at the Department of Education. Staff yesterday received an email saying that they had to vacate the department's headquarters by 6 p.m. The email said the closure was for security reasons.
Yeah, half of the department is either gone or going. And what I think of that as being is like Linda McMahon's done half of her task yet, right? Like
that's the
goal is for all. And
she is effective, that's for sure.
I'm sure a lot of the people who work at the Department of Education, you know, they saw the result of the election, they watched the State of the Union, they saw the nomination of Linda McMahon, they read what was going on in the news, and they stayed there?
Like, yeah, I mean, you had to see it coming.
Did you at least spruce up your resume a little? I mean, think
get
what
working
you,
on that LinkedIn profile.
Yeah,
you're going to need it.
Think what you know, didn't you ask for some recommendations, you know, just preemptively in case? I'm actually surprised that a lot more people hadn't already found other jobs doing other things, you know?
It seems
like, I don't know, I mean, if it were me, and it's not, but if it were me, I'd be like, oh, no, this is the bulldozer's coming. You know,
well,
it's time to.
They offered the $25,000 buyouts
yes,
a couple days ago. Who
yes,
wouldn't have taken that?
Yeah.
You know what's coming around the corner.
Who wouldn't have said yes and thought to myself, I'll just go work at the local, you know, county or the state or wherever, you know. And you know, there's lots of job openings. We know that governments are hiring. So anyway, go ahead, David. Sorry.
And two astronauts stuck at the International Space Station since June are now set to make a trip home this week. SpaceX mission is scheduled to launch from the Kennedy Space Center tonight, and that is carrying a four-member team to the space station where they will relieve Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams, who have, of course, been on the station ever since their Boeing ride.
Stop it. That's not fair.
Make it home.
That's not fair. It's a little fair. How long have they been up there now?
June. And it was supposed to be, what, a four-week mission when they went. So it's a while.
So my heart goes out to them for having to have this extended stay and, you know.
It's like the Gilligan's Island of space travel.
Yeah, the dreamiest thing that anybody ever dreamed of being able to do, which is spend time in space. But they didn't, you know, exactly book an eight-month trip. On the other hand, you did go to space. I mean, things happen.
It's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, if that's the worst thing that happens to you in your life is, stuck at the space station, yeah, you know, it's not necessarily the worst thing that's ever happened to a person in the history of mankind.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. American import costs are going up in Europe, retaliation for new aluminum and steel tariffs in the U.S.
A 25% tariff on steel and aluminum imports are now in effect, President Trump backing off of his threat of a 50% tariff on Canada after Ontario Premier Doug Ford implemented a 25% charge on electricity exports to the U.S., The White House says Ford decided to pull those tariffs after speaking with members of the Trump administration.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. Ukraine agrees to a U.S. proposal for a 30-day ceasefire with Russia.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the ball is in Moscow's court. President Trump's special envoy Steve Witkoff is due to travel to Russia in the coming days. The U.S. is resuming intelligence sharing with Ukraine and again supplying military aid.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The Education Department plans 50% layoffs, cutting around 2,000 jobs. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 53 degrees in Pensacola. 20 young men graduated from the Sheriff's Office Blazer Academy program last night, a six-week program. It focuses on how to be men.
Confidence is key for us. Making eye contact is key. Having goals, objectives, a future is key for us. And it's not that they've never seen that, experienced that, had a dream. It's not that they haven't had that, but we want to hit it from a different way. We want to escalate it from week one. We're going to teach them a little bit about handshakes. Week two, a little bit about how to wear a tie, how to come up to a podium and talk to somebody, how to introduce yourself.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, and that from the graduation ceremony last night. He said the idea came partially from his time as a coach when he mentored young men, and a conversation also with a reformed inmate that wanted to start a mentoring program to make amends for crimes he'd committed as a young man. The graduates all received a certificate and a special gift, and a female Blazer Academy class begins here in just a few weeks. Santa Rosa County District Schools rolling out some new virtual courses for students in the Florida Empowerment Scholarship and Private Education Provider programs. Those courses will be available for grades 3 through 5 and 6 through 12 and cover core subjects and languages like Japanese and American Sign Language. You can sign your student up for one of those classes at stepupforstudents.org or check the school district website for more information on that. A quick-thinking elementary school custodian saved a child that was choking on ooey-gooey cheesy bread last week. Now, this happened at MacArthur Elementary School. LaDarren Wiggins talked to Channel 3 about the scary incident. He says it's the first time he's had a bad choking incident. Luckily, custodian Antonio Minor stepped in, gave him the Heimlich maneuver.
And so after like 6 or 7 pulse or 5, it popped right out.
And Wiggins was taken to a hospital to be checked out afterwards. He's doing okay now. The school celebrated and the custodian Ontario Minor's heroic actions with an in-house parade. An effort to ban fluoride in tap water is moving forward in Tallahassee. A state Senate committee voting yesterday to approve a bill that would make it illegal for local governments to add fluoride to the drinking water. Tavares Republican Keith Trunau sponsored the bill. He says it's about choice. Trunau told the News Service of Florida there are several ways you can add fluoride to your water, but if somebody doesn't want it, they can't really opt out. It is 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John Pickens, what are you seeing this morning?
Well, it's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents still to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. We're seeing some delays if you are headed on 98 eastbound just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. Rolling through the Wind Haven Beach area, seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay there. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will see a beautiful day today with temperatures around 72 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. For Thursday, dealing with a chance of some rain, otherwise cloudy skies, 50% chance of rain, high near 71 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Looking a bit nicer on Friday with a few more lingering clouds, high on Friday near 74 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke Richardson. And right now we've got 51 degrees in Pensacola, 55 in Gulf Breeze, and 46 reported in Milton. Our next news is at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now taking a look at our pre-opening market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields inched lower this morning as investors awaited the consumer inflation reading and monitored the latest tariff news. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was over one basis point lower to 4.275%. The Consumer Price Index for February is forecast to show a monthly increase of 0.3% for a broad array of goods and services. On an annual basis, that would put headline inflation at 2.9%, moving lower but still above the Fed's 2% target. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Acrisure has acquired Mockenhaupt Benefits Group. Details of the deal were not disclosed. Acrisure, which is based in Grand Rapids, opened a Delaware County office in Wayne last year. Futures are moderately higher ahead of inflation data coming out later this morning. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials dropped 478, the NASDAQ down 32, the S&P 500 down 42. Once again, futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over six times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Did you know that with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity, home buyers can choose their location, floor plans, and even certain home features? It's true. With an affordable mortgage, you can build the home of your dreams, tailored to your needs and preferences, all depending on availability and qualifications. Don't wait. Start your journey to home ownership with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity today. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org to learn more and apply today.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it.
We've ended the tyranny of so-called
diversity, equity, and inclusion policies all across the entire federal government and indeed the private sector and our military. And our country will be woke no longer. Making it the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
That was last week. Like the, the State of the Union joint address or gesture joint session was last week. Doesn't that feel like it was 3 years ago? Just like, when was the snowpocalypse? Wasn't that like 2014? I mean, that was just 2 months ago. It was so recent. All right. So the president, of course, you know, the war on woke is active. We talked about the other day, we talked extensively about how these military Facebook and social media pages have put up a note that they're scrubbing them to make sure that they're not out of compliance with directives on content. And there have been at least some things removed generally that have to do with anything race, gender, or sexuality related. And I think that's a real problem because I don't think you should be erasing the history. We've had some conversations about that. Story in the New York Times. Very interesting story. Concerning story, frankly. And I do want to put a little bit of an asterisk note before we get into the details here. Basically, what the New York Times says is that agencies within the executive branch administration have been told and or decided to flag or highlight certain words that they're going to either not use or use less. And apparently the list that the New York Times compiled is a kind of amalgamation of many, many different documents. And in some cases, federal agency managers advise caution, they say, in the term's usage without instituting an outright ban. In some cases, the guidance is to not use them. And then some of the some have ordered the removal of these words from any public-facing websites or the elimination of other materials like school curricula where they might be included. So each particular word is not necessarily banned. I want to make that clear in advance. But the list of words itself is really weird. Now, some of the words on this list are perfectly appropriate. Because, you know, language shapes the way you think. There's, and, you know, I don't quite buy into the idea of linguistic relativity or linguistic determinism, which is just a fancy way of saying that you can't think but for the language you were raised in. You know, like the way your brain forms ideas and beliefs is heavily shaped or entirely shaped by the language that you learn. So French people think differently than English-speaking people because of the language or Arabic and so forth. It's the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis about language. Anyway, there's some truth in that. And also, if you don't have the words to express it, it's hard to imagine how you have the idea. But as a philosopher, I would say that there's another side of this, which is a lot of times you find yourself with an idea and you're trying to wrap the right words around it or you're trying to find words. And sometimes you feel like you can't find the words that fit. So I don't quite buy it. But there is a truth in the idea that if you teach people language and you teach people to say and not say certain words, you do have a shaping influence on their beliefs. That's kind of the premise of political correctness, right? Is we can get people to think differently by getting them to speak differently or by getting them to use or not use certain language. We talk about this all the time in Transgressors. The premise of woke culture, cancel culture, not necessarily woke culture, but, you know, winds up being cancel culture particularly, is largely that certain ideas and also certain terms cannot be used, right? Okay, so you get all that. So now we're turning to the Trump administration and the word list. Some words are so heavily biased towards a certain way of thinking about a subject that they are suspect. Not because it attacks somebody, but because just using the word embraces the values of the people who invented that word, like gender identity. As soon as you even start talking about the concept of gender identity, using the term gender identity, you've bought into the notion that gender is an identity, that it's not a fixed biological fact. You're validating the premise of the worldview that's offered this notion that man and woman are not something simply in your genes or in your body, right? So, and things like gender-affirming care, we've talked about this many times, that is an incredibly loaded term that makes it seem not only like what you're actually doing is, you know, conforming the body to the truth of their internal gender, not based on biology, but that affirming is such a positive note that doing sex change operations, what you used to call these things, is just, it's kindness. It's an incredibly loaded term. So those ones on the list don't bother me. They're right. Those are very loaded terms, and you ought to avoid those, especially if the ideology of the administration does not align with them. But we'll come back to this list in a second, because some do not fall into that same category. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Highway 90 heading toward East Milton from downtown Milton, you're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay just because East Milton Elementary School. Let's see here. 98 is actually slowing down some. 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. We're expecting about a 7 to 9 minute delay associated with that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this word list that the New York Times published as collated from a bunch of different internal documents they've secured from the administration, whether officially or not, and through looking at websites and stuff. And the words that they are saying or the terms that they are either disfavoring or getting rid of, many of them are, I completely agree with this, okay? Anti-racism, assigned at birth, assigned male or female at birth, affirming care, chest feeding. You remember this one when chest feeding came out instead of breastfeeding? Because chest feeding includes people who are not, you know, born biologically female, but whatever. And then some of the ones that are outside the realm of sexual things, but, you know, clean energy. That's a loaded term. Right? I mean, it says that certain kinds of energy is clean, the other kind being dirty. Okay? Climate crisis is a loaded term. Fostering inclusivity. Marginalize. Although I think marginalize is a very useful term that has a lot of applications outside of just kind of the woke culture stuff. But still, Latinx, multicultural, non-binary, you know, you get it. These are terms that clearly have, it's not just that it describe something like a term should, but it actually represents a worldview or a bias or a viewpoint or whatever. Pregnant person instead of like mother. And then even things like transgender, they say, and transsexual. Now, we used to say like somebody who was transvestite was like a man who dressed like a girl. That's a very clear term that we've used all of my life and we don't use anymore because it's a mean term. Sexual used to mean that you've actually undergone some kind of an operation. That was also a fairly clear term. We've now imported the transgender, which is a very, like, ambiguous, amorphous, kind of covers everything and doesn't say anything specific, because somebody can be transgender and they don't dress differently, or somebody can be transgender and they don't have biological differences that they haven't done. Anyway, putting all of that aside, putting social justice aside, a very biased term, there are terms on this list that are, like, how is that a term that they're going to disfavor the use of? Accessible. You know, we use accessible for representing that people with disabilities are able to use an accommodation in order to perform or act in such a way as if they didn't have the disability. You know, a wheelchair ramp is a good example of an accessible feature. Or a handrail. You know, I mean, I don't know why that would be on the disfavored list. Barrier. At risk is on the list. Well, I mean, at risk youth is a very common phrase we use to represent people who, you know, kids who may have problems at home or may have poverty or may have health issues at risk because they're at risk of going into bad behavior or crime or being socially disruptive. We need to work on it. Immigrant is a word. They're saying, what? I don't, that's, the president says illegal immigrant, or they just want to say illegals now? I mean, I don't know. That's a weird one. Black. Don't say black. Don't say black. What? What? Why? You know, breastfeed. That's the right term. What should you say? Ethnicity. We're not going to say we're not going to say ethnicity. We're not. Female is on the list. Gender is on the list. And again, some of these are not banned. Okay, they might be disfavored, or they might be, you know, hey, pay attention when you're using these words to make sure that you're using them in a context that's suitable to the president's priorities. But pronoun is a flagged word? No, it's fair to say that before the sex wars, the gender anarchy stuff, we probably didn't say the word pronoun an awful lot unless you were, you know, Daffy Duck. Ah, pronoun trouble. You know, like you probably didn't say it, but how is pronoun race, trauma, political, socioeconomic? I mean, that's just a word to mean your place in class and money. And can we not, what should you say instead? Native American? I mean, Native American is the least biased term. Like, indigenous people at least has some kind of a bias to it. Native American, I don't know. Okay. Confirmation bias? Oh, man, we need to teach that. People need to, confirmation bias is the idea that you look or you give preference to evidence or ideas that reaffirm what you already believe instead of giving fair weight to things that also disconfirm what you already believe. Confirmation bias is a major problem in the country. And it's not a particularly a liberal problem or a liberal, idea. Privilege. Privilege is on the list. Privilege is actually a really useful term. Now, it might get overused, but the idea of realizing that certain kinds of assumptions you make about how the world does and should operate conform to your expectation, entitlements, habits, history, and people you hang around with, that's a really useful term. Because it's not just like white people have privilege, liberals have privilege. Liberals have privilege in assuming that the dominant narrative in the news media is going to reaffirm their worldview. Anti-Christians have privilege. They expect that the world around them is going to primarily deliver them information in institutions that does not carry any religious content. That's an anti-religious bias. They assume that. They're in the privileged position. I mean, these are, like, it's wild to me, this list. John, you'll appreciate this. Gulf of Mexico is also on the list.
America.
Stop it! Florida just voted yesterday in a couple of different committees to advance the legislation to conform our state language and our descriptions and things to Gulf of that stupid other thing.
America.
They did drop the Tamiami Trail rename, though.
They
so
did?
They're not renaming it the Gulf of America Trail or whatever. So inequality, injustice, these are all terms that are kind of on the... And there's a whole bunch of ones I'm not even reading that are kind of in between. They're not necessarily obviously bad or obviously okay. They're just sort of somewhere in between. But look, I was having this conversation with my wife the other day. One of my all-time favorite books is 1984. My second all-time favorite book is Brave New World, if this gives you a sense of where I'm coming from in my thinking about, you know, totalitarianism, authoritarianism, utopias, non-utopias, dystopian futures, all of that stuff. I'm really on heightened alert against a lot of this stuff. Maybe more so than I should be. But this is literally the stuff we mean when we say Orwellian. And my wife's like, you know, I don't think everybody knows that word, Andrew. I know. Because if you haven't, you know, but all it means is when government is deciding what language to use, when government is revising the past based on current standards, when government is your source of truth and therefore can change the truth by changing what it says, and then when you're another element of Orwell's, it's not that he advocated this, he was criticizing this, so it's a little ironic to call it Orwellian, but doublethink is one of the key concepts in 1984, and that's the idea that, you know, war is peace, and that contrasting ideas that you're supposed to hold simultaneously, when you're asked to believe contradiction simultaneously, so that's doublethink. This is all like Orwell would write this as satire, or Jon Stewart, or The Onion, or The Babylon Bee would write this as satire. And it's just happening right in front of us. And again, some of it I agree with. This is, you maybe say, a reaction to the Orwellian stuff that was going on before. I agree. I mean, I see that. But you can't, like, use Orwell to fight Orwell. It doesn't work that way because you're still playing censor, authoritarian, thought police, doublethink, teach people what to say so that they can speak in ways that affirm the belief system you want them to hold on to. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are actually flowing really good this morning. Still seeing that delay if you're heading from downtown Milton into East Milton, and 98 eastbound has kind of let up a little bit just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, but we're still seeing a 5 to 7 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Investing in times like these can be scary. If you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances, Armada Advisors will put you on the right path to success.
Find out how today at 9 as Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors will be on the Pensacola Expert Panel to find a better way to successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. That's today at 9 with Armada Advisors on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Bayou Hills Run, the official 5K and 10K City of Pensacola Championships, is back on March 29th at beautiful Bayview Park. It's called the Bayou Hills Run for a reason. These hills are no joke, but push through and you'll be rewarded with an epic post-race party the whole family will love. Sign up now at BayouHillsRun.org. The course takes you along scenic Bayou Tahar, winding through East Hill's stunning tree-lined streets before finishing back at the park. Every finisher in the 5K, 10K, and kids run gets a medal. And once you cross that finish line, celebrate with great food, drinks, music, and plenty of fun for the whole family, including a playground for the kids. Race day is March 29th, so don't wait. Register now at BayouHillsRun.org and bring the whole crew. The Bayou Hills Run, the official City of Pensacola Championship, a Pensacola sports event.
Need an affordable medical clinic?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a walk-in or same-day appointment?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a $45 zero copay medical plan?
Go to ProHealthFL.com. ProHealth has always been known for being Pensacola's most trusted and affordable clinic and lab, but now ProHealth offers over 30 affordable ultrasounds too. You never need a doctor's order, and ProHealth allows you to pay with HSA or FSA funds for all their services. You can even schedule yourself at ProHealthFL.com. That's ProHealthFL.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I am Hans.
And I am Franz, and we just want to pop
you off.
Good morning, 5-5-6-58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with the headlines. David.
And good morning, Andrew. A deportation hearing is set later this morning in New York for a pro-Palestinian activist at Columbia University. Mahmoud Khalil was arrested by ICE agents last weekend and had his student visa revoked. His lawyers are challenging deportation orders, arguing that he was here legally with a green card. And Ukraine says they will agree to that ceasefire with Russia, but only if Moscow accepts. The tentative deal comes after negotiations between Ukraine and the U.S. in Saudi Arabia yesterday.
All right, David, thanks so much for that. The improvements to Chemstrand below 9 Mile going down towards Johnson are amazing. Like lights, widening, removing of trees that make it hard to see, sidewalks. They're only in progress right now, but kudos to Escambia County. It's much safer.
Dependable travel.